Well, good morning, everyone. Can I welcome you to our service? This morning's an all-age service, so the children will stay in. So a lot of the material will be pitched at a slightly different level than normal, but hopefully that'll help us in a number of ways. Happy birthday to some of our not-so-young people, Anna and Zelda. Hope you have a lovely way celebrating with family. And can I just remind you that according to government guidelines, today you are, and from now on, you are at liberty to wear a mask or not wear a mask. When we sing, you're at liberty to wear a mask or not wear a mask. When we sing, I'll put a mask on simply because I'm facing you, and so I'll just do that. But that's not a prompt for you to have to put a mask on, so you're at liberty to do that. It may be helpful if you're coming and you're nervous or apprehensive, or if you're watching from home because you're not sure how it's going to play out with masks or not. It may be helpful if you do want to wear a mask, come to church, and maybe just sit towards the back. That might help you, or maybe sit up in the gallery with a bit more space. That might help. So please feel free to do what suits. But we're not saying that people who wear masks have to sit at the back, but just that might be helpful. I'm going to stop talking about masks now. Is that okay? I'm looking forward to hearing a congregation sing without everybody shrouded in masks. We're going to look today at two small stories, but very special stories that Jesus told. The parable of the treasure that's found in a field and the parable of the pearl that's bought at great price. And hopefully we'll enjoy that, learn things and encourage each other in how important having Jesus as our Lord really is. So we're going to sing to start our service together. This is a song we sang a few weeks ago. It's a helpful song, so it would be helpful for us to continue to learn it. It's entitled, O Lord, My Rock and My Redeemer. One of the traits that comes through the two parables is the enjoyment of having Jesus as our Lord. And this hymn helps us to express that enjoyment together. So let's stand as the music starts and we'll sing together.
Oh,
pray, shall we? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that we can sing to you words of devotion, love and worship. We bless you that you and your Son and your Spirit are worthy of all our praise. And we thank you that today we acknowledge that you are our rock and our Redeemer. Lord, we pray that you would grant faith today, perhaps even for the first time. We pray that you would strengthen faith today. We pray you'd restore, you'd refresh us as we come together and confess that you are our God and we are your people and we are glad to be yours. We thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to gather and worship you. We pray in our thinking and in our responding to your word, in our singing and in our praying, that you would be honored and glorified. Would you, the God of all mercy, draw near to us, we pray, and help us this morning. Lord, these things we ask and commit to you. Amen. Boys and girls, I'm going to ask you to come down to the front and give me a hand with something for a few minutes, just as I tell you what we're going to be looking at this morning. I'm just going to move this. Give ourselves a bit of space. If you actually, for now, if you come and sit down for now, is that okay? I'll talk to you there. Just have a seat, good lad. Thank you. Now, what I've got. Come on ahead. And by the way, you just sit on the seat for now. Is that all right? Zach, can you just take a seat, sunshine? Good lad. Joseph, if you're watching from home, we miss you. We hope you get better from COVID. Joseph Ward's got COVID for the second time, isn't that right? Yeah. Do you wish you'd be at home? A week off school? Yeah. I've got some pictures for you, okay? Got a scooter. A horse. A trampoline. Cake. Chocolate cake. The cutest dog I could find on the internet. A McDonald's drink, a pair of football boots, and a car. Okay, now then, our job this morning, or for this part of the morning, is to put them in order from the least expensive, the cheapest, to the most expensive. That's the idea. Okay? So, Sophia, do you want to go first? And my question to you is, can you pick something that looks expensive? Okay? It doesn't have to be the most expensive, but just something that looks expensive. What would you choose? Trampoline. Good call. So I'm going to put that over here because we think that's quite expensive, okay? Thank you very much. Who would like to go next? Go on, Daniel. Choose something. Anything. And my question is it more expensive or less expensive than the trampoline? Okay? A dog, the cutest dog on the internet, right? So what do we reckon? Is this more expensive or less expensive than a trampoline? Less expensive? Do you want, Zach? I actually don't know the answer. If a trampoline's about £150, how much is a dog? More?
Higher!
Thank you, Ben. Higher, right. Apparently, it's more expensive than a trampoline. Who would have thought? Zach, do you want to choose one? And then we'll try and put them in order. A scooter. Good choice. Right, what do you think? More expensive or less expensive than a trampoline? What do you think? More? We'll leave it there, okay? Do you want to choose one? Choose one of these? Anyone? A car. More expensive. Okay. So we think the car is more expensive than the dog and the trampoline. Okay. Sophia, it's back to you again. What would you like to choose? The horse. Right. Would it go in the middle? Would it go at the end? What do you think? You put it wherever you think it might be. It's hard to know, isn't it? Can I give you a clue? I'm going to make you a space. Okay. If you put it there. Okay. Anybody know how much a horse costs? Okay, we're not talking about red rum, okay? It's not a racehorse, sorry. Not thoroughbred. I've never asked myself that question before. £1,000 would buy you a horse. £3,000? The internet told me 1,000, but there you go. Okay, well it's less expensive than a car. Okay, well, certainly that car. Now we've got three other pictures. Who's next? Go on, Daniel. Chocolate cake. Good choice. Right, where's the chocolate cake in terms of expensive or not expensive? Yeah, I think you're right there. So we've got a pair of football boots and a McDonald's drink left. Zach, I think it's your go, mate. What do you want to do? Pair of football boots. What do you think? Do you think you'd spend more on a cake than you would on a football boots? No. We'll pop it there, shall we? Good man. Okay. These football boots are blue and orange. I'm putting them off thinking, in my day, football boots were black. How old do I feel? Right. We've got one drink. We've got one left. Do you want to point to where it goes or place it where it goes? You think it goes there? Okay, so I'm going to make one little change if I can. Zach, I think a scooter might go somewhere near football boots. Okay, just there. So from the cheapest, we've got a McDonald's drink, a cake, although it does look delicious, a pair of football boots, not black. We've got a scooter, we've got a trampoline, we've got a cute dog, we've got a lovely looking horse and a car. Okay, now I want you to do one more thing for me. I think you've got that right. Well done. If I could give you any one of those today, so at the end of the service, as you walked out the door, I would say, here you go. Okay, and it'd be yours to keep forever. All right? Not your brothers, not your sisters, not your mum or your dad, yours. I'm just going to spread these out a little bit. I'm going to ask you to come and stand on the stage near the one that you would choose. Can you do that for me? So when you've made your choice, come and stand. So if you choose the McDonald's cup and the drink, you would stand here, all right, as an example. If you want the car, you would stand here. Come and make a choice. Tell us what you think. One thing that you would get and keep. Right. Christmas wish list. Okay, I'm doing you a favour, parents. Okay. So we've got a chocolate cake. That was fantastic. A man after my own heart. That's brilliant. I have to say, it looks like a delicious chocolate cake, doesn't it? Okay. All right, good. Chocolate cake. Now, Zach, are you at the scooter? Scooter, good choice. Sophia, are you at the trampoline? Brilliant. And Matthew, you're at the dog. Is that not the cutest dog you've ever seen? That? Okay, so. Now, isn't that interesting? You all had a choice of the one thing out of all that list that you would choose, and you've chosen different things. Which tells me this, and tells you and us this, that we decide what is most valuable to us, don't we? We have to decide. You see, if I was making a choice, although I love chocolate cake, do you know what I would have chosen? I would have chosen the car. Should we ask them for a show of hands? Right. Hands up if you'd have voted for the McDonald's drink. Hands up if you'd vote for the chocolate cake. There's a few chocolate cake lovers. Hands up for the football boots. It's because they're not black, isn't it? Yeah. Hands up for the scooter. Zach, strangely, you're on your own there. Hands up for the trampoline. Ray, I was just going to say, do your back in, wouldn't it? Hands up for the dog. Come on in. Oh, look at that. Matthew, you've got some mates there. Hands up for the horse. Trevor, you've had two votes. You can't have two votes. I said, one thing. So there's a few hands for hands up for the car. You lot, to tell you what. Okay. Listen carefully. You've decided from that list what's most precious. Today's stories, two very short stories. Jesus tells us what is the most precious thing. It's not on this list, okay? But he tells us what's the most precious. So you've decided today what's most precious from that. But we'll listen to Jesus and he'll help us to see what's the most precious thing, okay? Do you want to just sit down here? Because I might need you for the song in a few minutes, okay? Thank you for your help. Well done. In a few minutes, I'm going to read to you the Bible verses, okay? But before I do, a few weeks ago we learned a memory verse about when we read the Bible. Okay, it's going to come up on the screen, if that's okay. Just pop it up. You remember this one? We learned some actions. Doesn't matter about the actions. I find the actions helpful. Open my eyes that I may see. And we do the letter W with our hands. Wonderful things in your law. And we learned that the law wasn't God saying, do this, don't do this. The law was the whole of the Bible. Okay? So it's open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, I'm going to pray that, because that's a prayer, just before I read, okay? So let me pray those words. Zach, do you want to just sit down for me, my man? Good lad. Let me pray, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, can we repeat the words of that memory verse to you from our hearts? Would you open the eyes of our hearts that we may see wonderful things in your law? We see lots and lots and lots of things around us, but we want to see the wonderful things that you have for us in the Bible. Help us to listen to the words of Jesus. Amen. Now then, let me read to you these words, okay? They're going to come on the screen, so you can follow them if you want. And it says this, two short stories. Let's see if you can follow these two short stories. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, someone who buys and sells, looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Okay? That's the two stories we're going to look at today. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Do you know why? Because he's the king. So we're going to watch a very short video about that, about Jesus being the king, and then we'll sing together, okay, about how great God is. But we'll watch the video first, Zach. We'll watch the video first. Come and sit down. Good lad. Thank you. Zach, just sit down here. Zach.
Hats don't just look good. Hats tell us about the wearer. A broad-brimmed sun hat says the wearer is off to the beach. A construction helmet says the wearer is building something big. A fascinator says someone's going to a party. The Bible says that Jesus wears a crown. He wears a crown so we know the kind of king Jesus is. Once, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. He wore a crown of thorns showing his love. He loved us so much that he took our place. He suffered and died so we can be forgiven and live forever. Jesus wore a crown of thorns because he's the King of love. Now, Jesus wears a glorious crown. He wears a glorious crown showing his power. Jesus rules all heaven and earth. He's in charge of everything you see. He's in charge of everything you don't see. Jesus has power over everyone and everything. He can do whatever he wants. Jesus wears a glorious crown because he's the King of power. With all his power, Jesus still loves. He uses his power to bring people into his perfect, everlasting kingdom. He chooses people to trust him and be forgiven. Jesus shares everything he has with all who follow him. We wear hats to the beach and to work and to parties, but it's good that Jesus wears the crown. He's the King of power and love. He's the King you can trust and obey.
And because Jesus is the King of love and power, we think he's great. And we want, as a church, we want everybody to know that God is great. So we're going to sing about God being great. And I'm going to need your help to do the accents, if that's okay. Okay? We're going to watch a video with Auntie Ruth doing the accents on that screen there as we sing. Okay? This is a fast-moving song. I'm not expecting you to do the actions, but if you can join in with the words, that would be great, an encouragement to the boys and girls. Do you want to come up to the front? And we'll sing together, okay? Come on, we stand up here, people can see us. If anybody else wants to come down and join us, you're very free. That's children, that is, okay? All right, okay. All right, thank you, guys. Okay, so God is great, okay? Do you go back to your seats? Good lads. Well done, Zach. We've just seen in the video that Jesus wears the crown. He, in very simple language, he is the King. The Bible has a word for that. It's called Messiah or Christ. God's long-promised, long-awaited, everlasting ruler. In other words, once he's on the crown, once he's on the throne, he's not moving. Once the crown's on his head, no one else gets it. Jesus rules over everything. But he rules over his people in a very special way. And as he rules over his people, he brings them, the video says, he brings them into a relationship with him. And he looks after them and loves them. Or should I say, he looks after us and loves us in a very special way. We stop when Jesus the King makes us part of his kingdom. We stop running away from him. That's our problem. And we run to him. And he embraces us. And we follow him. What he says matters. Where he tells us to go, we go. We follow him. But he doesn't just command us. He loves us. He fills us full, is what one children's Bible says. He fills us full with his love. That is never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. When he's our king, that's what he does. Boys and girls, there's nobody else like Jesus Christ. Nobody else can look after everything and his people in a special way. No one else can fill your life with his wonderful love, but that's what he does. When Jesus tells a story about the two men who find things that they realize, this is so precious, so valuable, he's pointing them to how great it is to have Jesus as their king. And he's inviting them in. So when we look at the story today of the man who finds the treasure and the man who finds the pearl, and they sell everything they have to get it, Jesus is saying, come in, no matter what the cost, come in and have me as your king, because there's nothing better in the whole world than being loved by me, being looked after by me, and following me. There's nothing better. And coming in, this is important, coming in, we say sorry to Jesus and ask him to forgive us. We say thank you to Jesus for dying on the cross to be our king, our saviour. And we say help me to Jesus, that he would be our rescuer and would bring us in to his kingdom. So the two stories that we're going to look at today tell us how wonderful it is to be in his kingdom, how great it is to have Jesus as our king, how amazing it is to be part of his family, God as our father, we as his children, how rich we are to know that today Jesus is with us and even by his spirit in us, and that he will never leave us and never forsake us, even right to the very, very end, when he comes again and brings us into his perfect kingdom. We will never have to cry again. Is that good? Well, this kingdom, this King, Jesus, wants you, whether you're children or not, wants you to enjoy coming to him and being with him forever. So we're going to find out about a man who finds a treasure in a field. He wasn't looking for it. We don't know if he was working in the field. We don't know if he was walking in the field. We don't know if he was playing in the field. But he just found treasure hidden in a field. He hides it. And we'll find out what he does later. We're going to find out about a man who his job is to buy and sell pearls. So he goes to markets and shops and other people. And he buys pearls that are precious. And he's probably got quite a lot of them. But when he finds one pearl, he thinks, I've got to have that one. And we'll find out what he does later to get it. But all of these stories, and the fact Jesus being our king, is to show us how precious Jesus is. Have you got that? Now I know most of you know that. But sometimes we need the dust blown off our hearts to realize how blessed, how rich we are as children of God, as people of his kingdom. Christ is my king. And that changes everything. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing a congregational song. Boys and girls, please stand for this. We'll all sing together. It's called All My Days. Okay, it talks about all my days. I will sing this song of gladness. Because Christ is our King and that changes everything, we should be people who are glad to have Jesus as our King. Let's stand and sing, shall we? Boys and girls, in the story of the man who finds the treasure in the field and the man who finds the pearl, as he's out shopping looking for pearls, can you remember what both of them do? They both do the same thing. Can you remember what they do? I wonder, can we have the words back on the screen, Simon or Philip? Can we have the words back on the screen, the Bible reading, please? Thank you. They both do the same thing. So one's in a field and one's in a shop. Okay? But they both do the same thing. Let's see. I'm going to read this again. What is it that they do? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What did both men do that was exactly the same? Can anybody help me with that? Somebody shouted. Go on, Dan. I knew you're speaking. They both sold everything they had to get that one thing, didn't they? So the man who found a treasure in a field, he thought, I need to buy this field. Why? Because he wanted the treasure. Can you imagine the conversation at home when he goes back to his wife? Hi, love. Have you had a good day? Yeah, it's been good, thanks. How are you? Oh, I've been out walking in the fields. We need to sell everything. What? We need to sell the lot. Have you gone mad? Why do we need to sell everything? Well, I want to buy a field. You want to sell a house to buy a field? Not just the house, love. I want to sell everything. Clothes, wardrobes, the whole lot, the car, the whole lot. You have gone mad. Trust me, he says. Trust me. It might have gone like that. Okay? I imagine the wife had a few more comments to say about that. But the Bible says, doesn't tell us about a conversation he has with his wife, I'm just imagining, but the Bible says he goes and sells everything he has. And that's just a few words, but that's a big thing, isn't it? Some of the children's Bible stories have a picture of a man walking to the field wearing nothing but boxer shorts. That's the kind of idea. He has nothing left other than the money to buy this field. Everything's gone. Do you get the idea? Complete sacrifice. He's got nothing left. All his favourite things. The things that you would have chosen here, if you had them, gone. Chocolate cake, he would have sold that. Okay. Scooter, we'd have sold that. Trampoline, he would have sold that. Horse, sold that. Car, sold that. Everything he would have sold just to get money so he could buy the field. He sold everything he had just to buy the field. How precious was that field and the treasure inside it to that man? How do we know it's precious? Because he sold everything he had. And the other man does exactly the same. His job is buying and selling pearls. He's got lots of them probably in his house. But he sells all of them and everything else as well just so he can have this one pearl. How precious is that one pearl to this man? Very precious. Most precious. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being like that, he wants us to see how precious it is to have Jesus as our King. And if we don't listen, if we don't have him as our King, boys and girls, listen, if we don't have him as our King, he wants us to have him as our King and to let nothing stand in the way. I read this week of a young boy who went to a camp. It was a Christian camp, and he heard the Bible being taught. And he started to realize, as the Bible was taught, he started to realize how special Jesus was. And he knew he had to keep hearing about the Bible being taught so he could see how special Jesus was. And he knew this was really important to him. So he leaves the camp. At the end of the camp, all the boys and girls say goodbye to each other. They all go home. He gets to his house and he realizes he's got a choice to make. Do you know what the choice is? He knows that in the local church, the Bible's taught and Jesus is loved, and he wants to go there. But on a Sunday, when the church meets, he plays football for his local team. What's he going to do? He wants to hear about the truths in the Bible so he can learn how special Jesus is. But he plays football for a team on a Sunday, which means he can't go to church. So the boy quits his football team so he can get to church every Sunday to learn from the Bible all about Jesus. I read that story this week. Isn't that encouraging? That boy, Jesus to that boy, was more precious than playing football on a Sunday with his mates. Okay? Let me tell you an adult version of the story. I think I've used this story before. A friend of mine was married, or is married. He married his wife. They weren't followers of Jesus. But after they got married, he became a follower of Jesus. And he became a better man. He became a better husband. He became a better father. But his wife didn't like it. And although he was a better man, becoming a better man, they were starting to fall out about how important Jesus was to him now. This is what he said. I know I might lose you as my wife, but I can't go back and not have Jesus. Do you get that? To that man, then, even though he loved his wife, he knew that his relationship with his wife couldn't stand in the way of having and growing in Jesus. The end of the story goes like this. She became a follower of Jesus too. And she now knows how precious Jesus is as well. Okay? I wish it doesn't always like that, end like that, does it? But in that situation it did. Two stories. Real life stories about Jesus being so precious that other things are put aside. Or would be put aside. Okay? Now when we hear stories like that and we see the stories that Jesus tells, if God's Spirit is working in us or working on us, the penny drops, doesn't it? He really is that precious. He really does deserve everything I have. And nothing can get in the way of me growing to be more in love with him. Is that true? So here are two men who give up everything. Now, as Christians, God doesn't tell us to sell everything, does he? Very often he entrusts us with more things, more responsibilities. He may even bless us with financial riches. Maybe the attitude he's given in our hearts means that we can get jobs that are better paid. That can happen. And so God entrusts us with more. But we have to remember, nothing is more precious than having and knowing Jesus. No matter how much money we have, no matter how good a job, if we've got a job, it is, no matter how wonderful our family might be, nothing is as precious as knowing and loving Jesus. Does that make sense? I'm going to learn a memory verse, okay? Which is a memory verse we did a long time ago when we did the A to Z memory verses way back in lockdown. Some of us were in the building, most of you were at home at the time. And this is very short and very simple. It's going to come on the screen now. It's simply this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just that first line, not the second line, just that first line. Okay? I'm going to learn this with actions. Or remind you of the actions that we learned months ago. So if anybody wants to help me do the actions at the front, now's the time to come down. Otherwise, I'll wave my arms around for a bit while you learn the verse with me. Anybody want to come down? Come on. You're all on go still this morning, aren't you? I know you're coming, but it's like, oh, wow. So this verse, this line, O taste and see that the Lord is good, was written by a man who knew what it was to love God and be loved by God. And he wanted other people to have that too. Okay? And so this line was written, you've got to know how good he is as well. That's the kind of thing, okay? Taste and see. He really is good. He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure in the field. You've got to have him. So the actions are this. You ready? O for O. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's that easy, isn't it? Does that ring a bell from the... Okay, should we do it again? After two. One, two. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now then, they haven't realized that they have to join in as well. Okay? So as you say it, they have to say it as well. Okay, you ready? After two. One, two. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? Let you do a little secret. Ladies carry all sorts of things in their purses, don't you? Right. When my mum died, we had to go through her purse. Okay? Which sounds quite sad, but actually, it was quite good because that verse, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," was inside her purse. And so when she opened it up, when she opened it up to spend some money, she would see that verse. Okay? And she'd often talk to people about how good God was. Okay? So, you ready to do it again? After two? One, two. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can we have a blank screen, please? You ready now? One, two. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Brilliant. Now remember, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an invitation to you, to anybody, to find out just how brilliant, how good God is. Now then, let me see what's coming next. Oh, we've got to sing. How wide and long and high and deep. Okay, can you help me with that one? It's a fast action one, hence the face. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons why Jesus as King is brilliant is because he loves us so much. And one of the descriptions of God's love in the Bible is that it's wide and long and high and deep. In other words, it's enough for all of our life. And no matter where we go, he always loves us. That's one of the reasons why God and Jesus are so good to have as our King. So we're going to try and sing this together. I think, Auntie Ruth, is it true that we start this way? Because we're not doing it by video. Okay, so we start off as this way and then we hop round, okay? If there's any mistakes, just keep singing the words, okay? That's, the words are the important bits. We might get distracted with the accents. Okay, you ready? Thank you, guys. in the great love that Jesus has for us, the wide, the long, the high, and the deep love that God has for us in Jesus. Do you know what he does? He comes to earth. He becomes a man. He lives a life of love to the Father. And he dies in my place and yours. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. And he wants to do it because he loves you. And he wants you, all of you, young and old, to be in his kingdom forever. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to trust him and live. A king who loves like that. There's nobody else like him. And I'd be mad to ignore his love. So would you. So let me sum up. Parents, this might be helpful as you chat over Sunday lunch. Can I give you three words? All three begin with the letter G. Okay? The first word is get. These two men in these stories knew that they had to get whatever it was they found. The treasure in the field or the pearl in the shop. The second word is give. These two men knew they had to give stuff away so that they could get whatever they wanted. And when we become Christians, we're giving away things that are important to us, like looking after our own lives, making our own decisions. We're giving that away and we're saying, no, Jesus is in charge now. I want him to be my king, not me. And so we're giving that away. And we're getting rid of other things, like that boy giving up football on a Sunday so he could go to church. Like that husband saying to his wife, I might lose you, but I can't lose Jesus. We're giving things away that we're getting away of us loving Jesus. So that's the second G. First one is get, got to get it. The second G, give things away so I can make sure I'm in Jesus' kingdom. And the last G, can you guess? It's glad. Glad. The story of the man who found the treasure in the field, when he went and sold everything he had, he didn't do it with a sad heart. Do you know what it's like? Boys and girls, you get sweets or chocolates at Christmas, don't you? And sometimes you feel you have to share them. Oh, what? I know some boys and girls who don't share the chocolates at Christmas time, but there you go, that's another matter. And when you have to share them and you don't want to share them, it's like, oh, yeah, dear. No, just hit one, okay, or something like that. It's a heavy heart. But when this man found the treasure in the field and he wanted the field and he gave away, for joy, he went and sold all that he had. Okay? One of the games we played on Friday with the boys and girls, there was a relay race and Sandra had the boys and girls skipping. It's great skip. It's great seeing boys and girls skip. Okay? It's hard to skip with a heavy heart. Can you imagine this man skipping his way to the shops to sell everything he has and skipping his way back to the field to buy the field? Okay? He was glad to do it. But not just glad to do it. One of the reasons why Jesus tells these two stories is when Jesus becomes your king, you will be glad. Forever. You won't look back and think, I've made a mistake. I've got the wrong thing. You will know. He is a king like no other. And there's nothing that can get in the way of me loving him and following him. Some of us live this life, and during hard times, we say to ourselves and to others, I have no idea what I would do if I wasn't a Christian. I have no idea how I would get through this if I didn't have Jesus. And that's one of those moments where we realize how precious he is. But he's precious all the time. all the time. So three G's. I've got to get that, the two men thought. I've got to give away something. Make sure nothing else gets in the way. Okay, I've got to give. And I'm glad. Glad to have done it. Glad to have done it then. I'm glad now that I've done it. One of the lovely things about a Christian, when you're following Jesus, you can say to yourself, what do I have now? I have Jesus as my King, living in me by His Spirit. He's promised to always be with me. He's promised to always provide. He's promised to always care and teach me and lead me and guide me. He's promised that He will help me to love Him more. And He's promised that when He comes again, He'll bring me into His wonderful kingdom forever and ever and ever. What do I have now? What do I have then? Everything I need. There's nothing like knowing Jesus. Give, get, give, and glad. Maybe we can talk those through over the table today. If ever you do have to give something up to follow Jesus, if ever you do have to suffer loss for following Jesus, we're only slightly copying God Himself. He gave up everything so that the offer of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good can be made to people like you and me. So we're a little bit like God, but only a tiny bit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you will be glad that you did. We're going to sing, and then we'll pray. The song we're going to sing is "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found." Okay, let's stand and sing together. Let me just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the love of Jesus to us. We thank you that he is a king like no other. We pray once again you would grant faith in Jesus as king for the first time today. We pray you would grant a strengthening of our faith for those of us who have been trusting in Jesus already. We thank you for the joy that is ours in knowing Jesus. We want to love him, follow him, and be filled up by his love to us. Thank you, there's a king like no other, is Jesus. Receive our thanks. Amen.